What up, world? It's your boy, OS, and this is the Core Culture Podcast. It is Sunday, June 26th, which means it's the last episode of June. Man, got a lot we're going to talk about this week, like we always do. Some of the things I'm going to talk about is the news. I've got some updates on some shit we did last night. And of course, we've got the co-host in the building, Yoani. What up?
What up, people? How you doing?
Good, 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 man. Hope you're doing well. Let's bring on the other co-host, Frankie Hubbers. What it is, bro?
What it is, what it is, what it does, people. Core Culture Podcast. We in the building. Big NOS, my man, yo. Thanks for having me. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah, man. So this week, as I said, we got a lot to talk about, so I'm going to kind of jump into it, man. Last night, High on Fi and Friends, Yoani. At first, I'm not gonna lie, I was looking at this shit like, man, is this gonna be any good? And then about a quarter of the way through it, it started to get pretty good. There was some pretty decent guys. The first few guys, well, not hating, just not on the caliber that I expected, probably why they were all the openers.
You would expect them to be up front, and you know, that's where you would put them. And the beats sounded all right, bobbing our head a little bit, you know, moving our, but nothing that's like, oh, I got to get up there and check this out.
Right, right. That was the one thing I think that they kind of like made it an all right concert, was the fact that you know, the level of Water Street was pretty decent. There was good guys like that came in a little bit later though. So Frankie, to kind of give you some context here, there was this show last night for High on Fi and Friends, and basically he just like put together this like concert with, I think it was like 12 artists total. And there was this one dude. What was that Puerto Rican guy's name, dude?
The Puerto Rican rock, or the Rican rock star. His name is Frankie X something. I got to look him up.
Okay. Yeah, Frankie. So there you go. So the reason why I say this, Frankie, is because his name was Frankie too. And I'm like, damn, yo, we got a Frankie.
Another Puerto Rican Frankie.
Wow. Another Frankie, bro.
That's the West Coast Frankie. You know what I'm saying? East Coast Frankie.
He sounded pretty good.
That's West Coast Florida versus East Coast Florida. You know what I'm saying?
Man, 100%.
Man, I'm jealous. I'll tell you what. I'm jealous of you guys. You guys, every 3 days, I get an update from you guys like Ticketmaster. And it's like, hey, these are the 5 concerts going on over here on the West Coast of Florida and Tampa. And they're always popping, man. I'm getting jelly, man. Orlando needs to step its game up. What's going on over here?
I'm sure Orlando has his own thing. You need to get tied into what's going on over there right now. Get out of the garden.
Just ask for like some help. Get a pass. You know, be like, hello, hip hop pass.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, I mean, I've heard this in recent times. You know, I spoke with a few rappers that do a lot of traveling tours, kind of a thing. They're constantly moving around the state, and they said the same thing to me. They said, hey, Tampa is where it's at. I know a few guys who've moved over there following that dream. You know, the thing is, we got to be honest with ourselves. Tampa's more of an adult city than, say, Orlando. So you get, you know, a little more leniency over there when it comes to that party time fun, you know. And there's a lot more money over there, man, believe it or not, you know.
No. There's a lot more money over there. You know, I've just got some
There's a lot more tourist money in Orlando than there is in Tampa.
A whole lot more. There's people from around the world constantly moving through there. There's a lot of money going through there. It's just y'all have these stipulations and red tape and all that with Disney having the thumb on the city. You know, they have full control and
all the whole be taxing the shit out of you.
They don't want all the you know, bad things going through the city. They want to keep the image, so they keep stopping, you know, good hip hop. But this still comes through.
The Orlando government's oppressing the hip hop community.
It always has.
Always, bro. Let's talk about that, because I don't know if you guys remember, but you may remember Spring Break used to be a part of Daytona Beach. They shut that down. Church Street Station, downtown Orlando. That was a massive party central. They used to have block parties out there. Now, shut down. It's regulated to just Wall Street. A few barricades go up. I mean, they definitely regulated the party. Just the other day, I was talking with my buddy, and he reminded me of the Raving is Not a Crime movement, which also sparked the Skateboarding is Not a Crime movement and several others. And that was in response to Glenda Hood, the mayor, who was against clubs staying open past a certain point, you know. So Orlando has a lot more red tape, like Ioanni mentioned. You know, clubs here will close at 2 o'clock, where everywhere else it's 3, 4, 24 hours a day. Places like Oviedo, which is right next to Orlando, Oviedo doesn't allow you to drink after 12 o'clock. So, you know, there's a couple spots here that, you know, that are notorious for killing the party vibe. So Jelly, man, Jelly, I wish I was out there with Puerto Rican Frank and the whoever's.
I mean, truly, you wouldn't have been impressed. It's better that you stay home.
Okay.
I mean,
we're not dissing the show itself. We're just saying.
I mean, I could diss it a little bit.
Well, let's be real. What, you know, give me honest. You know, we got good cop, bad cop here.
I mean,
right?
It's just that it's in my nature. I really want to be honest. I mean, I know it's weird when you're interviewing the person and Nas, he'd be putting me on the spot, putting this person on that moment. I don't even know he's going to be on there. And then they play the music and he's feeling it. And I'm thinking, I don't know, man, this is straight garbage. But I don't want to be an asshole with the guy on there. I'm like, it's all right. So, but, you know, these guys here, they're local. We know them. We chill. But, you know, I want to be honest. It's just the fans would want to know the truth. So I got to speak it. And that is my boy High on Fire. I had not seen him live. That was the first time. And I'm pretty sure that was the first time. And I love the guy, but I was not feeling last night's performance. The whole thing from start to end sounded very this generation, like this new school. They ain't got no real rapping bars. It was a lot of bullshit, for real.
Maybe that's what it is. It was maybe because it was more new age sounding. Is that what it is? Maybe NOS. Let me get your opinion on it. We got bad cop already. Let's get good cop up in here.
Man, look, let me say it like this. I just feel that that's the style of hip hop, or his particular lane that he's pushing. And what Ioanni probably expected was for us to have this really amazing, you know, lyrical boom bap, you know, arsenal come at him, and it didn't. It was more of just like, hey, here's this music I put together. I hope you like it. It's a bunch of mumble mouth, but don't worry.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't mumbling. It was just repeating a lot of the little same shit and hyping the crowd and repeat a little more and pump up the money. It's all about the money. And I don't know. That's just the impression I got. It was not a lot of people, but a few of them, you know, they were feeling hopping all around, raving in there. My wife, I brought her, and she was definitely not feeling it. She's like, this is not my crowd. I'm not coming back. but I appreciated her coming and trying. So we stayed till midnight. Nas left, so he didn't get to see the end. I stayed to the first show of the headliner, which is Pusha Preem. On that one, he was rapping with this other guy in High on Fire. I did not like that song. I wasn't feeling it. I knew it was past midnight, so we had to get going already. I really wanted to see Pusha Preem. That's the main one I wanted to see. I always like his stuff. I did see him live with Nas at the Crowbar. It was good stuff. It's just that we come from a different time, a different hip-hop. So I feel like I got that, my fill of what I want when we went to the Shuffle on the Tuesdays, and they had all these different acts. They had different sound styles and a lot of bars and just real hip hop. I love the scene that they created. So I was hoping when we went to this, it would have some hip hop in it. The Puerto Rican rock star was the only one that came close to that.
I mean, that's why I highlighted him earlier. Honestly, out of the entire show, he was probably the most lyrical cat there. But then again, you know, I didn't get to see the end. I don't know what else
Pusha Preem. I'm sure Pusha Preem probably did his thing, but he uses a lot of auto-tune, so yeah. You know, it's for an acquired taste. Whoever likes that, some people like it, some people don't. It's one of those things. It sounds good. It's just for me personally, my taste, if I was using it, it wouldn't be every song all the time. You know, like Lil Wayne had used it, but it was little here and there. For the most part, he doesn't. Not to knock who does. I'm just saying, if it was me personally, I wouldn't use it all the time, but he uses it all the time. But I bet you he didn't, because I was going through all his stuff in the past and his pictures and stuff. He's been doing this for a while. He used to have a group. I bet you if I go back and listen to that stuff, it's more of the lyrical and not the auto-tune. So I'm going to have to get some research done. We're going to probably have him on the show in the next one. So y'all tune in.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So check this out. Another thing I'll say about that place, or at least that I thought was a positive, was the fact that a bunch of like local vendors were there. And they all got to, like, you know, try and make some money, man. Oh, and they had free shots, albeit Tito's.
Wow.
What I like about it is the reason why I went out there is because they have these are kind of big names in the local scene. They're not big names, but I'm just saying that they're big names in the local scene. So it's getting together different people in Tampa. It's like, we got to represent. We got to go over there and support our local artists. So that's why I felt impelled to go over there and do that. But when I got there, well, first I thought I was going to be in Ybor, and he's like, no, it's on Nebraska. And if you don't know Tampa, Nebraska is not where you want to be. But I still took my wife there. It was a little hole in the wall.
To quote Ioane's wife, that's Ho Central.
Yeah.
That's the where all the hookers walk. On that side
Okay.
It's always been known in Tampa.
Yeah.
For decades.
Day walkers. Just out there. Just doing their thing, man. You know, trying to make it.
Night of the Living Dead. Okay. All right. That's what's up. Yeah. No, I'm hyped, man. You know, we go out there and we do a Freaknik part 30, you know, and just get it in, man.
So it's different. You know, when you bring your wife to a show, you can't really get in like that. And
you really can't. It was definitely not bring your wife to the concert day. I'll say
so I tried to get in there and hop around a little bit. She just looks at me like, you're too damn old to sit there and go in there and hop around. But
what was the age group out there? We're looking at, you know, 20 to 30, 30, 40. What we got?
There were all young cats. They were definitely acted like young cats. And then the only other old dude in there was the rapper's father. So I felt like somebody else's father in that bitch. So I was like, they're probably thinking he's just somebody's parent or something.
Hands down.
Nah, you're an OG, bro. You're a Tampa OG, man. Don't let him slip on you right there. Watch out.
But I mean, several know me there. I know them. I show them love. I like supporting. So no matter what, it was good that we came out. It's just not exactly what we were hoping for. I was thinking something bigger, because normally I think Pusha Supreme, I see him in a bigger venue, and I believe High on Fire as well. These other cats, I don't know any of them, but like I said, we were both impressed with the Rican, and maybe we'll have him on a future show as well.
Hell yeah. Well, shit, a bunch of cool artists to look forward to here in the future. And if you're in the Tampa area, definitely check all these dudes out, man. Frankie X, High on Fire.
Well, let me look up Frankie's, because I have him. I'll give you the exact if you want to look him up.
Yeah, man, find these kids, man. Super dope. The one thing I will say also was that, you know, it was pretty chill. Like, I thought, you know, young guys throwing a you know, little concert, you know, at a local business or whatever. Because what the guy did was he took his, I don't know, I guess like a Jamaican restaurant, and like he shut down like one side of it. I guess where all the tables and all that shit was, took everything out of there and turned that into the concert area. The High on Fire and all his crew and shit, they brought like the stage and the lights and the fucking DJ and put that shit on.
I mean,
I gotta give them respect for putting up their own money to make that shit happen.
These guys, you can look them up. You know, they are out there on these platforms. They've been doing their thing. High on Fire does have a nice commercial hit that I like, King of the City, I think it is, but if you want to look up High, like H-I-G-H on O-N, Fies, F-I. And the other one, Pusha Preem, P-U-S-H-A, Preem, P-R-E-M-E. And the Rican Frankie is FRANKIEX music. So look him up, support. There's some good peeps. And y'all are welcome to hit me up, hit any of us up on our DMs or send them a message. And if you got somebody that's worth you think on to be put on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Don't feel bad if we don't. You know, we have our own tastes and agendas and what we like. So it may not fit. I have people hit me up all the time. And, you know, I'm sorry. So there's several that I have on my list that I'd like to have on the show. But, you know, sometimes I enjoy just our hosts, co-hosts. And then sometimes I enjoy an interview. We'll see how it goes with all three of us. I'm sure we'll make it work. Some guests are a little bit more animated and exciting than others. Push Supreme is someone that I'm very impressed and like. He is a father, a husband, and I was going through all his stuff. For y'all that don't know, he likes to wear a mask. And when I've asked him in the past, he said it's because it's not about me, it's about the music. So I respected that. Looking through pictures, he's a good-looking dude. I mean, if it was me, I'd be showing my face if I was good-looking like that. But, you know, I definitely respect why he does it. And he sets apart. Maybe it's to get attention from the mask. I don't know, but we could discuss it when we have him again. He, like I said, he approaches things a little differently. He's more, I don't know, he thinks, he's educated. He looks like somebody that I root for. I want to see him succeed. So I'm looking forward to his next interview now that I'm getting to know him a little bit more. High on Fire, that's my boy. Love you. We can have you on the show as well. And Frankie, like I said, not this Frankie, the other Puerto Rican Frankie. But yeah, man, I talked to him. He seems like a cool cat. So I like what he was doing last night. We were like, all right, this guy come out saying he's the Rican rock star. Let's see if he puts out some Spanish on there.
And he did some breakdancing. Just saying.
I mean, I didn't see no breakdancing. He did a little dancing, but it wasn't breakdancing. But I like that he threw in some Spanish in there in one track. So I'm like, all right, represent. That's right. So moving right along. Last night's performances were about that much time worthy of our speaking. Let's go.
There you go. All right. Cool. So let's move on to Eminem coming out with The Curtain Call 2. First off, let me ask both you guys, and I'll start with Frankie. Are you expecting Eminem to even drop this album? And do you want him to do it?
Wow, I can give a real short answer on that. You know, it's yes.
You just say no.
No, I think he is going to drop it. Eminem.
He asked the second question, do you want him to do it? Give a shit, right?
Nah, man, I think he should be free to burn the world, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what Eminem does. He's sitting over
I'm
there right
to put
now.
You on the spot. What do you feel about Eminem? Yeah, I got the the feeling that you don't really give a shit about him.
No, man. I'm a huge Eminem fan, actually, bro.
All right, let's give it up.
Eminem fan, bro. I'm a huge, like,
good. I love that, man.
You know, you got to remember, I was following M since he was down with the Outsiders, since, you know, Rod Digger and Young Z and, you know, what's his name, man? I can't think of all the crew members right now, but the Outsiders, do your research on that. Look up the Outsiders crew and see how Eminem actually came from there. That's a New Jersey squad, straight Brooklyn, Bricks. I mean, I'm sorry, New Jersey, Brick City, New Jersey. And here's Eminem mingling, co-mingling with them, living in their house with them. He started making music with them, you know, but the thing is, M is just this beast you can't contain, man. He's his own animal. He's one of the first great battle MC, battle artists. He's one of the first great white rappers. You know, because we gotta remember what we're talking about
here.
I'm
not gonna say he's one of the first great. He is the greatest white rapper. To me, he is the greatest rapper of all time.
Wow.
I'm putting that out there. Okay. To me, he's always been the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
He's never been scared to chop your head off. I respect that, man. But I mean, my favorite rapper is Andre 3000, but I'm not trying to be biased. I'm trying to step outside of that. And Eminem would chew him up. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Those
Andre,
are different animals, man. Those are different animals.
Andre's the shit. Not that he's not going to just go over him like nothing. Andre's the shit. He just goes deeper. He is so slick. You'll listen to it and get two different meanings in the same line. I mean, he likes to be complex. And Eminem, he likes his wordplay. He likes to just show you. He's crazy because he's always thinking. He's probably sitting there. It's an addiction. When he's putting words together, he's always thinking of what's going to rhyme with it. And he's a perfectionist with that. And he is like his own worst critic. And he's always trying to get better. And that's why he's still at the top of his game. So go ahead. I know Nas doesn't give a whole lot of shit.
Man, you know what? I do. I happen to like Eminem. I always thought overall he was just an amazing artist, man. The one thing that I will say, or at least that has got me wondering, is he's definitely slowed down on like album releases over time. I mean, it hasn't been like he's releasing one every year or anything like he used to.
I mean, I'm going to think or say that when you get to that level, when you get to that status, any of them, it's so much pressure and anxiety on top of you to have to match that again. He wants to make sure he's going to bring it when he brings it. So I'm going to say that's why it might be slower. He's trying to perfect it to when he comes out, there's no denying that it's going to go to the top of the charts. He ain't going to bring out no garbage. And Andre's pressure has gotten to him where now he doesn't bring out anything. So the pressure is real. The struggle is real. If it was me personally, I would have to revisit all those old places where this whole thing started, rehash those old feelings, get to that old guy you once were. But these guys,
they can't do it, man.
They're not like that. They're like, you don't go to the past. You got to keep changing. You got to keep adapting and moving and growing. If you don't, you're going to get trampled over and swallowed up. I disagree. There's plenty of us from the 90s that still want to hear that good shit, that old shit. I wish he would. My dream would be for him, Andre, that is, to revisit every album and just dive into it until he gets where he was at that time. Make an album like a double CD or something for that era. Then another one for the next one, because every one was a masterpiece. But I wanted more. I didn't get more. I got to enjoy the new adaptations, but I missed the old stuff, and all of them were so different, from Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music, then to ATLians. Those two alone was night and day. Then Aquemini, I mean, Keep On Going, Hey Y'all was like not even rap, you know? That's some pop. Everything they did was magical, and I don't take anything away, but as a fan, I still wanted to hear more of that other things, you know? So then he came out with this one compilation or collaboration with recently with Goody Mob, and he did on that one. He took it way back to the dungeon, and it sounded it. I respected it. I loved it, but I just itching to hear some more. But we'll see if he brings out some more speaking now that I'm a member of talented rappers, and segue to new music. We got Lupe Fiasco. Came out with his new album. Y'all probably haven't heard it. I haven't. I know I'm going to. I've been meaning to, but I was chilling. Went to the beach in the pool. But I'm going to be hearing it today. I love Lupe. I hear with the talk from others that he just brought it on this one. So I'm expecting to be good. I don't want it to be like make it too good in my head and then it'll downplay, you know, because I do that with movies. You're like, oh, this is Spider-Man is the shit and all this. And you go see it. It's like, yeah, it was good, but it wasn't like the best. You know, so like I don't want to build it up too much. I want to hear it from my own and make my own opinion. But I'm excited. This dude is talented. Go check him out in YouTube as well. He's got an interview that I saw out there. But as a person, the way he comes off, I never seen him in an interview before. And I don't know. He's like a little bit. I see that he's an artist, which is cool. I didn't know that. And you know, the painting kind. Comes off a little cocky and a little combative. Maybe that was just because of the host. Maybe he knew him. I don't know. But he definitely knows his shit. Looks like he studies hip hop. So I'm definitely going to dive more into learning more about the man. But the music itself, I appreciate it. Thank you for bringing out this quality shit. Go ahead, peeps.
Nice, man. So, all right, well, let's change gears. What do you think about Drake's dance album?
I saw their reading in the hip hop news that it says something about him hitting the Billboard charts, top 200, number one or something. I don't know if that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't really care a whole lot about Drake, but
I don't get it at all. I think Drake, this album right here is probably the worst Drake I've heard in, I don't know what, the decades that he's been doing this shit. Honestly, it's a bunch of like dance tunes, literally, that he's like rap singing over. That's what the whole album is. I mean, like literally the whole album is dance songs and him rap singing. That there's like nothing else. There's no like, oh, I thought he was going to spit bars and like, you know, blow my mind. No, it was fucking all dance music.
Well, let's put it this way.
And see,
if you were in his position, right? And this is your bread and butter that got you there.
No matter what, not even if they said, hey, I'm going to make $1 million. I'll be like, nah, bro. Because if I did this shit right and put down some fucking bars, then I'll turn that one into 8 million or 10 million or something better.
But that's a gamble.
Dance music and singing. Like, come on.
That's a gamble.
These are pandemic albums, bro. These are albums these kids made over the pandemic, bro. They got nothing but iPads. Some kid in Europe on a Reddit soundboard is sending them sound bites like, Mr. Drake, I make beat for you, you know? And here you go. Boom. You know, you got a new album out. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know.
It had the accent.
I mean,
he's been hanging out with Kanye West too much. You know what I'm saying?
Listen,
what can you do? You know, everything's all concepts now and concepts, and it's not reality anymore. It's meta.
Meta, yeah. Fuck that.
These artists,
right? Fucking good music. How about that, Drake?
These artists, you know, they feel the pressure from these labels, right? They got to knock this work out. They got contracts that they have to, you know, that they're obligated to fulfill. So they be knocking these things out, man. They just go in the studio and it, like Lupe Fiasco said, he did that album in 3 days. To me, that's not enough time invested to make a masterpiece. Maybe I'll hear it and he's just a genius and in those 3 days he made a masterpiece. But to me, as a creative, I have to feel it, and it comes from just living, like just being around the world, and it'll hit me. I may be eating a cheeseburger or something and thinking of something, and it'll hit me like, oh shit, I gotta write that down. So that's the way it is. I can't force it. I'm sure if I go in a studio and just knock it out, I can knock out some hits. But I'm saying, how are you gonna complete a whole album in 3 days? I don't know. It's just,
it can be done.
I know it can be done. I'm just saying, like, you need to feel the juices. You need to go visit some things. You need to go visit some different people, get some different vibes.
Disqualifying the album only because it was done in 3 days, or you?
Me personally, yes, because I think you need to invest more time. It makes more. Some people take too long. Some people are quick. That's just like with the art, you know. So, but I think if you invest more time, you're gonna find more things to tweak it and make it better. If you're just trying to rush it, knock it out so that you can obligate, you know, get done with your obligations, it's fine. I understand it's a business. As a creator, though,
yeah.
I would want to put out the best quality stuff. So I would want to invest a little bit more time.
But he had everything already like set up to where he had all the beats chosen that he wanted to do. He already had all the lyrics written for everything that he had to do. Really?
No, he had nothing. I mean, I don't know if he had some beats, but I'm saying as far as lyrics, all that stuff.
He had the
timeline. He's like, okay, each one is 2 hours or 3 hours each song. He's got to go knock out start to finish, done. Next one.
I don't know.
Next.
I think
machine.
I don't think the time should determine how good an album is overall, because there are guys that are just meticulous as fuck and they can like go through 10 tracks in like an hour. You know what I mean? Like if they really wanted to put it all down. Think about it, bro. We're talking about 3 minute songs, average of 32 bars per track, right? I mean, you could probably spit all of that in an hour.
I disagree,
really,
but
if you really had the ability and you could like one take every one of them, it could be done.
I think, you know, I'd have to agree that it can be done and it's been proven to be done.
It can be done. They like Lil Wayne will do the freestyles.
You know, exactly. I mean, does you know, quality over quantity kind of a thing here? Sure. I mean, I can agree there with Yoani that maybe some quality gets sacrificed. However, being a rapper who was a is a producer slash rapper, right? Who
Big
would sit
the
in
Frankie.
The studio. You know, here's some of the things you got to remember. Like, let's say you and I were on tour, you know, and we're traveling from city to city, and the label's like, "Hey, yo, we're gonna send you over here to meet this big time rapper. I don't know, Kanye West, because we were talking about him before, and I believe Lupe and Kanye have done some shit together." And you're like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna be around Kanye West for the next like 4 hours. Once I land in that city, out of those 4 hours, I have 2 hours to get as many songs as I can done with him." The other side of it would be the artist who has a budget of $1,000 and they need to record 10 songs and it's $100 an hour. So under those pressure moments, people will get shit done. You know, not only that, it's hot right now. It's trendy right now to say, "Hey, I'm going to make an album in under whatever amount of time." So much so that we're talking about it, you know. The last person I remember that got a record, like in the Guinness record, I believe, was Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes has it took him 2 weeks to complete an entire album and get it released. And this is in a time where the internet wasn't so prevalent as it is now. You know, that's the other side of it we got to remember, right? Now it's easy. Now you and I can sit here and we can use AI technology to crank out our bass lines, crank out our drums. You know what I mean? Sit there and write a chorus. We're talking about Lupe fucking Fiasco, bro. The kid can rap. He's been around a long time. He fucks with the big dogs. You know what I'm saying? This guy's job. So when you go to your job every day, you clock in, you know you're going to give your boss 8 to 12 of your hours, right? Same shit you would do if you was Lupe Fiasco. You would be like, "Yo, I'm going to give the boss 8 to 12 of my hours. And after I take a shit and smoke one, I'm going to come back and drop another fucking bomb on these niggas." So after a while, you know your capabilities. You're like, "Bro, I know I could put out 30 songs in a weekend. I could do 10 songs a day. So you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that, because even if I do 30 songs and I only use half of them, that's 15 tracks. That's a full album." You know what I mean? So that's what I think is going on there. I think it's a
Tupac
quality over quantity
mentality. To me, Tupac
sure
had
thing.
That mentality.
Sure thing.
To knock out a shitload of songs.
That's why he's still alive.
And then you would use. I said Tupac.
Now you hit it right on the head, bro. That's why you got to understand, the reason we can still put out new Tupac music is because he recorded hundreds and hundreds of songs.
But
he
some
was
of them
a
were
monster
not
in the
great.
Studio.
Some
no,
of them were not that great.
Some of them were not. But when they take that 4-bar section and they paste it into a Snoop Dogg song and they put it on the remix of whatever the album that just came out last year, people are like, "Oh shit, Tupac's back. Ah, he's alive. Put his hologram back up." You know what I'm saying?
They get this snippet, this piece of a song. They piece it together. They get some dope producer. The Eminem actually produced, made some tracks off of Pac. And, you know, they gave him his stuff and he made some dope stuff. Pac is so awesome. You could take a little piece of his work and make it into a song. But I'm saying at the time, he's just throwing out some shit. Boom, make a song. Next one, next one, next one. He just work. He's trying to obligate. I mean, he's trying to get all his obligations done of these contracts. I mean, Suge had him down for several albums that he needed to do. He was felt stuck. But that's the contract that he signed to get out of jail. So, you know, but I'm saying, you don't need all that pressure. You don't need to rush yourself. Make it good. Make it a masterpiece. I'm sure
you can. It's not that easy. It's not that easy, bro. It's not that simple. Let me ask you a question. You as an artist, Yoani, you as someone who paints to the paper, you telling me the first time you picked up a paper, you took your time and it came out amazing? You had to draw that face 75 times before you were like, "Yo, I know how to do eyes now. What? Like, I got it like it's nothing." Same thing with a rapper, bro. You got to do 75 of them before you get one good one. You know, so back to Lupe Fiasco, banging out a full album in a weekend. Yeah, it's doable. Is it going to be the most top quality shit? I think somebody like Lupe Fiasco's mediocre shit is top quality. So that's the whole premise behind this is I'm more dangerous than the average nigga. Watch me go in. You know what I'm saying? But you can't think about that, Yoani. You can't say that the first time you picked up pen to paper, shit was a masterpiece. If you can, then wow, you're a prodigy, bro. You know what I'm saying? We need to talk, bro.
Listen, I'm impatient as hell. I don't spend a shitload of time on stuff. I'm gonna throw out some things, and it's usually out of passion and inspiration. I gotta feel it. But these guys, they are the shit, and they can just throw out This is their job. They could throw them out like that, pom. And but I'm just saying, if you put more time into it, it's going to be better. It's just guaranteed to be better. But I understand it's his business. They got to do what they got to do. Keep it going. Knock them out. But I'm saying spend more time on it. Perfect it. Get it better. No one's rushing you. You got money. You know, you don't got to knock and throw them out like that. Just perfect it. Keep it going. I want to see somebody that treats a whole album as a masterpiece from top to bottom, front to end. You know, it has to be a journey, a story, a movie. You get in there and you feel something. I don't even want to stop it. I'm going to keep the whole thing playing. I'm just saying that's from back in the day, albums, it felt like that. I appreciated the whole album. And now, ever since the last 20 years, it feels like you'd be lucky to get a whole album like that. It's usually 3-4 tracks on it. You'd be like, I got 3-4 tracks on it, so at least I got my money's worth. And that's all the people that I love, everybody. You know, Goody Mob's last album, I like 3 tracks on it.
All right. Well, here. Let's switch it up again. Do you guys know who Coast Contra is?
All day long. Big shout out Coast Contra, holding it down.
Dope, right? Well, how about they were on Jimmy Fallon?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that was dope. That was dope.
Think about it, bro. These kids went from doing like, you know, these videos on Instagram, TikTok, or whatever the fuck it was, and then all of a sudden, boom. They're on fucking Jimmy Fallon, bro. Could you imagine?
All for the real shit, you know? For the real shit. That's the thing, right. You know? We're not talking some crossover, fucking trappy, whatever, you know?
Some real fucking bars, bro. Some real hip hop. These kids went on the fucking show and crushed it, bro. That shit was ill. I was like, wow, man. To think that, like, I heard about these guys because it was on Instagram. I was like, bro, what the fuck, right? Seeing this shit happen. And then all of a sudden, fucking Jimmy Fallon, bro.
Shit was crazy, bro. I was impressed, man. And a big shout out to Coast Contra and the boys over there, man. Seeing them hit Jimmy Fallon reminded me a lot of MIA. Do you know who MIA, the artist, is? The female rapper singer from Sri Lanka. She's got that song, Airplanes. I get high like You catch me at the border. I got visas in my name. Right? Remember that joint? Okay. Reminds me of her because the first time I saw her was on Conan O'Brien. And I couldn't believe. I was like, yo, Conan O'Brien always brings the real out. Like, he always keeps it very real. Like, if you watch Conan O'Brien and you pay attention to the bands that he brings out, they're like underground, unknown, you know, first time on TV. Shit's crazy. So, you know, Conan O'Brien put me onto some shit. Here's Jimmy Fallon now doing, you know, I mean, we're talking Jimmy motherfucking Fallon, bro. The Roots, you know, all that bullshit, right? So
he's definitely one of the more hip hop oriented guys, I guess, on
he's
on
not. Late. He's not. Look, let me pause you there because Jimmy Fallon is not hip hop. Just because he did one movie with Queen Latifah does not make him hip hop, bro. All right. His band is hip hop. The Roots being on the show, that's hip hop. All right. Just because he gets up there and raps with Justin Timberlake, that shit don't make him hip hop. I'm sorry. He's always been like the anti to me, like something that hip hop people would be like, ah, this fucking guy. You know what I mean? But, you know, hey, listen, I'm not trying to hate on Jimmy Fallon. Big shout out to Jay Fallon and the crew. And the Roots crew is one of my favorite groups of all time. We're going to have to talk about that one day, do a whole segment on it. But I got a little factoid for you guys. I don't know if you know this or not, but the group Coast Contra, I did a little research on them because I had a show on the F Junkies podcast. Did a little research on them, and I found out through the grapevine that one of the kids in the group has a famous father.
Cool.
And that father happens to be hip hop, going back to the 90s. So I'm going to give you guys one guess each to guess who that is. I see now NOS is already Googling the answer right now.
Cheating motherfucker.
Not cheating.
Yeah. See your eyes moving on the screen, bitch.
So go ahead, NOS. What you got? You go first.
Well, I don't know, man.
No, I don't know.
Who do you think is the father of one of the kids from Coast Contra?
Prince Paul.
Ooh, okay. There's Yoani's guess. Prince Paul, that's a good guess. That was a good guess.
I don't know, man.
No? Got nothing? Take a guess, man. Throw a name out. It don't matter. They're all black and Spanish. It's easy.
Capadonna.
Wow. Capadonna. Okay. That's what all right. That's respectable. So here it is, guys. Drum roll, please. Razzkaz.
What? That's because we were just talking about him. I saw him last week. Last Saturday.
He was in Tampa at the Crowbar. We were hanging out with him.
Yeah, I got to talk to him.
So that tells you something right there. His pops is on the scene. He's scouting the locals, checking out the underground.
That's why you mentioned him.
Poaching from Florida's amazing caliber of rappers that you hear every month
and
on the Core Culture podcast. Okay.
Boom.
I'm just saying, man. Pay attention to that shit. We have always been poached for our amazing rappers. So pay close attention. When you see someone like that hanging in your backyard and they got the hottest group that just got put on to Jimmy Fallon, do the math. Do the math, fellas. This is business 101 right here.
Damn.
Well, he was a cool cat. I saw him. I recognized him, and I was like, oh, I got to go talk to him. But then I stuck my foot into my mouth. And I thought about it later. I told Frankie, I was like, damn, bro, I remember you used to be big back in the day, right? And then I was like, thinking later, I was like, damn, that's pretty much telling this dude you ain't shit now. I was like,
yo, remember back in the day? You was the jam, bro. And like, yeah, I'm still the jam, bro. What you talking about?
it was all right. He seemed like a humble dude. But I was thinking, damn, I just insulted this guy without even thinking about it. But anyway, I had some stuff written down, too, because I saw Snoop on the show now. What, you know, the podcast with Nori. Anyway,
Drink Champs.
Yeah, he had a lot of great information on that. I suggest y'all go check out that episode. And he was mentioning a collaboration with Big Boy and Death Row now that he has it. He didn't get any specifics because they haven't gotten into it yet, but it seemed like a good idea. Even though Bad Boy, you know, really ain't around like that anymore. So it'd be cool to see what they do, but only because of the beef and the everything that hip hop suffered at that time. It's kind of like burying the hatchet now, you know, it's about peace. And then they also had mentioned a couple of songs from back in the day that I used to love, and that was We Are All in the Same Gang and Self-Destruction. And I think those were definitely some dope tracks with a lot of rappers in it. And I'm thinking, why has it been so long and we don't have something like that? We should have another one like that. And in these times, it is needed. And East Coast, West Coast, everybody, just we're all together. We're whatever you want to call it, but just make it happen. Put it all your egos aside and let's work together and let's make it happen, please.
I agree, man. It's overdue, man. Self-Destruction, one of the greatest hip hop movements, because it wasn't just a song. It was a movement. They had an anti-gang thing going on. And this is, you're talking like 90s shit right here. You know, so you have this anti-gang movement, this anti-abrasiveness in the culture. They were trying to get rid of. Do you remember Heavy D? He came up with a song called Don't Curse. And it had all the dopest rappers on it. And he was like, I challenge you all to not curse on the track. You know,
I like that idea.
And they all ripped without cursing. So I think that was a trend at the time. I think at the time it was like, hey, listen, we can try to make this more ethical. We can clean up hip hop a little bit. They're trying to put parental advisory stickers on our music. They're censoring our videos, telling us to play them after 10 o'clock. You know, Two Live Crew's in court. So you got this whole like hip hop growing up, essentially. Hip hop going from teenager to adult at this point, right?
Speaking of someone that I thought of, we saw Am I Am, our boy, last week. And Nas was like, and he doesn't even cuss. And I'm like, really? I didn't even realize it. And this guy's dope. And now after we're talking about Orlando, maybe he doesn't cuss because he's from Orlando. He doesn't want to upset the powers that be. I don't know. But this is the talented cat. You can, if you're talented, you don't need to cuss. You can get your message across. If you're creative, you can get the words and the message without having to cuss. Will Smith has been, you know, like talked shit about because his stuff is all poppy, commercial, and like soft. You know what I mean? And he doesn't cuss. I don't think you have to cuss. To me personally, I like it. I like to cuss. I think a good fuck here and there is worth it in the rap. A bitch and the whole, yeah, all that shit. But you don't have to. If you're talented, you don't have to. I'm just saying. Sometimes it calls for it. You know what I mean? Yeah, DMX.
Yeah. It's DMX, an ingredient. DMX, wow.
It's not going to be all fluffy. You know, and I like that. I like Onyx. As a hip-hop artist, I like the hard. I like the tough. We're from the streets. We don't like fluffy.
Have you ever heard the song Fuck Shit Stack?
No.
Okay, Google that when you get off the show later. Just bored. Right. Fuck Shit Stack. Sounds You're going to hear garbage. A song that has every curse in the book, and it's like the most beautiful thing you've ever heard in your life. It's just gorgeous.
Writing it down.
Big shout out, Reggie Watts.
So, go check out that podcast. Snoop, to me, is one of the greatest things to ever happen to hip hop. And he is just getting started as far as what, now that he's a mover and a shaker on what he can do with it. And these people, I'm so proud of these people. They came up from nothing to being where they are today. Rihanna's not hip hop, but you know, now she's a billionaire. Jay-Z, all these people making big dollars. They're up here in the table with the white people. I'm like,
did you just say Rihanna is a billionaire?
She is. I saw it. Wow. She's a billionaire.
I didn't know that. But she had her pictures. Crazy.
It had all the billionaires.
You got to think about it, bro. That's big for someone who doesn't write her own music. She has a clothing line that she didn't design. All you ever see her do it is pointing at her models like, yes, that looks good. And you never see her sewing or actually putting shit together. That's pretty crazy, right? What you think about it, man?
You got Snoop Dogg making moves. He is making moves, I'm telling you, with his multiverse and the NFTs, and he's working now with Eminem. They just dropped a new track that's fire. If you haven't heard that shit, go listen to it. I'm saying things are happening still in hip-hop, like good acts, not this new shit. I'm saying our people are still making shit happen. And now they're at the top. They're the CEOs. They're making the moves. And I'm so proud of all of them. So that's where it needs to be. We need to control our own shit. Stop making money for somebody else. That's pretty much Snoop's motto.
Fuck
he
yeah.
is. Follow He's his own brand.
Well, shit, man. Let's take a quick little music break here and jump into some Muja Messiah. This is off his Pyre Expedition. It's called Don't Close the Door.
Let's get right. Pyrex. Yeah. Don't close the door, leave it open. I said, don't close the door, leave it open.
Don't close the door.
Yeah.
Leave that bitch open.
He's soaking, no leftovers left for the vultures. Box.
Oh, what happened?
What the hell happened?
You're listening to the Core Culture Podcast.
I wasn't really impressed so far.
Of course. Bob, let me run that back.
Let's get right. Pyrex. Yeah. Don't close the door, leave it open.
I like the beat, though.
The beat's sick.
Don't close the door, leave it open.
Listen to the lyrics, though. That's where it's at.
Bitch, she's soaking, no leftovers left for the vultures. Box spring broken, we moved over to the sofa. Best we smoking nothing less than a four-leaf clover. Fell asleep, woke up with a demon on my shoulder. Woof. All is fear and love and war, and I don't play fair. Had her legs in the air like Mount Rainier. Late nights on, great white shark. Daylight come, Becky Ledecky swimming in the dark. Licking every part of her lady parts like sweet tarts. My little sweetheart, silhouette on the wall like three art. Cavassier on the rocks, pop a beer, Goldilocks, and we want the whole world to watch. Remind me of a Lionel Richie song all night long. Miss Energizer Bunny, Mr. Tickin' Time Bomb, Monty Python, ripping them thighs, ripping them nylon. It's only right we leave the lights on. Correct me if I'm wrong. Don't close the door, leave it open. Let's get it on. Don't close the door, leave
this
it open.
This is hot, yo. I like this.
Don't close the door, leave it open. We ain't gotta stop. Don't close the door, huh? hopeless romantic, forgive me, I'm heavy-handed. I get brains on the plane, I get head on the hammock, I bet the neighbors know my name, Superman, Lois Lane, foreign exchange student, send her back home in pain. Making love on
Orient home in pain.
In the tub, sex, money, and drugs, 21 and up, body slammer on the canvas, I go ham like Hamlet, damsel in distress, tantric sex scandalous, heavenly father, I Jeffrey Dahmer, the preacher's daughter, had her screaming on her knees, Bridgewater, fire marshal Bill, fire drill, on the Ferris wheel, caramel, cunnilingus on the carousel.
Cunnilingus.
Wow. Cunnilingus okay. On the carousel.
Okay.
Don't close the door, leave it open.
Ooh.
Yo, he sound like he sound like J. Cole's nephew, cousin. This nigga got skills, bro. All right.
All right, let's give it up, man.
Yo, he's spitting. What's his name again?
Muja, M-U-J-A, Messiah, M-E-S-S-I-A-H. Muja, wow. Messiah. Your wow. Boy's out of Minneapolis, if you guys are wondering. Oof,
wow. The home of Prince and the Revolution.
Yeah, bro.
He sounded good. I like it.
This kid is fire, bro.
Kid was nasty, bro.
Spits all bars. Just
beat, too. Do you have producer credits on that?
I do not, man, but damn. I'm sure I reached out to him. He'd probably tell me.
Yeah, man. Shout out to whoever made that beat. That shit's off the fucking chain right there. Yeah,
that's some
90s. Yeah. That shit sound as shit. I had the chorus in the back, a little choir going off with the rakadukubakapupupa. You know what I mean? Whoa. Fuck.
All right, so,
I mean, his chorus the chorus need a little bit, help. But other than that,
that shit was hot, bro. It made you want to sing along. You were like,
imagine though.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that he needed somebody else's voice on that chorus. His voice just didn't make it. Leave the door, make it up. I mean, don't close the door, leave it open. I just think somebody else could have been better on that, a harder voice. But everything else was dope. I mean, by the end, I was singing along with the Don't Close the Door, but I'm saying that's the only critique.
Mm. Yeah, it was fire, man. Fire. Yoani, I'm sorry. Noslin, give me your 1-2-1-2. Where did you find this guy, bro? You be picking them funky cheeses, bro, from the back aisle that nobody looks at. And you're like, yo, I got this one right here. Bong. Oh, shit.
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you, I feel like I really should have been a DJ because I can just find the gems, man. And they're all good tracks. All these dudes, it's weird because like a lot of the artists that I used to interview way back in the day when we used to do artists like all the time, I just used to link up with them and then their friends link up with their friends. And then I start getting all the other links, right? And then it came to the point where like, I started running across all these other artists all from that same area. And then I ran across him through my homeboy, Dispy One. And yeah, man, it's fucking crazy, bro. And then the cool part about it is that the guy's kid spits bars too.
Oh, so shit. Okay, father-son team.
The fucking dad spits bars. It's crazy, bro.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm blessed. Big shout out to my son, Kaz. He also spits, so I have a father-son sort of relationship in the hip-hop thing, too. So I can appreciate that, man. That's crazy. So my man got a son that spits, too, man. Wow. I wonder where he's from. Like, if he's really from Minneapolis or if he's got some, like, roots in New York or, he just got this, like, northern sort of swag to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he really does.
I mean,
but your boy's people. Yes, man. Fucking dope.
There's people down here in Tampa. Tampa is definitely a special city, man. There's a lot of people down here that have a New York feel. It's a very diverse city. You can get anything you want. It's like a gumbo of rap. But definitely there's even New York sound. There's real hip hop. I love this city. It's an unknown gem. And one day it's going to pop off. And you're like, there's a lot of talent coming out of Tampa. There is. It's just nobody's here to put them on. It's always been. It's really sad that nobody gets put on, but we get to enjoy it. And Frankie, come on down and enjoy it with us, man. Get your ass out of the house.
What do you think about Jack Harlow playing Woody Harrelson's character in a White Man Can't Jump remake?
I didn't know there was going to be a remake, and if I was to choose someone, it wouldn't be him. But speaking of him, he is a dope rapper, not just because he's, you know, being a white, like, dope white rapper. He's just a dope rapper. Like, when you see him, he doesn't look the part, but can't deny his talent. And I like it, the way he rides the beat. He knows what he's doing, and I like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, you know, if I could jump in, he's got that Larry Bird, kid from Boston kind of look, you know. He's got the Jufro going on. So I could see where they're trying to touch on, you know, he's the current what Woody Harrelson was back in Woody Harrelson's heyday. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. You know, I say don't fuck up any classics. Don't touch the classics, man. Leave them alone. You don't need to remake White Man Can't Jump. You don't need to redo that. What are they going to do? Add a transgender to it, a couple gay people, you know what I mean? Have a couple of drug dealers, Black Lives Matter over here. Like, what are they going to do? What can you do to update this shit? You know what I mean? Leave it alone, man. Let this shit go. I mean,
very rarely do they make a remake that's dope, but, you know, it happens sometimes. People got to still make their money. I wouldn't. It's just they want a safer bet. They want a remake because it already has history. People are already going to watch it because they love the first one. So that's why they do these remakes. But usually most of the time, it's never as good as the first one. They came out with this Firestarter, speaking of movies. I don't know if you ever seen the first Firestarter with Drew Barrymore. I love that movie. Oh, yeah. It was one of those impactful movies that I will never forget for the rest of my life. Then they got the new one out. It was cool. I like it, but it's not like the first one. It's not. It's different. But anyway, that's just the way it is with the remakes. But
yeah, that's reaching, man. That's reaching, bro. You can't touch that, bro. Drew Barrymore, Firestarter, bro. You can't. You just can't, bro. I know the quality's not the same when you turn it on. It's like, this doesn't look 4K. Like, there's no argument to remake these movies, bro. It's fucking caca, bro. We got nothing new. We're like running out of new shit to do, bro.
Yeah, I would rather them just keep on with some new shit. But instead, they want to come out with 15 Spider-Man or 27 Fast and Furious. But I get tired of all that shit.
Well, that's what the mass media or the public, you know, the majority of, you know.
But tell me, which one, not movies, but music, what would you would like to hear remade? What album did
I'd
you love?
I'd like to have a remastered version of Illmatic.
Oh, hell yeah, bro.
But we got that. Yep. Remember the kid from Slum Village? He redid the whole album. Up to date, new editing, new mastering, same, like, bro, go listen to that. That thing's a masterpiece everyone sleeps on.
I would love to hear.
He redid Illmatic. And this was like not even 6-7 years ago, if I remember correctly. He redid Illmatic, bro. That's been done. One of the rappers from Slum Village, man. I don't remember the kid's name, man. Let me take a
find that shit out and let us know.
Oh, no, it was Illmatic, LZ.
Yes, LZ. Right. Trust me, it's like word for word. He did covers of Nas's music, and it's up to date.
That's not what I'm asking for, though.
Did it sound?
Or is the original Nas Illmatic album remastered?
Oh, well, I mean, that's different. Nah, I thought you were.
Yeah, no. That's
different. Yoani asked you, what did you want remade? Is what he asked you. Not I'm remastered. He said, better. What would you like to remake? He didn't say, let's remaster this. Like, you know what I mean? So,
an album? I mean,
one of the greatest albums of all time is Illmatic. Another one of the greatest albums of all time is The Chronic. And The Chronic that came out with The Chronic 2, right? And I don't remember that album. To me, do you remember the second Chronic? Didn't that come out?
It was all like secrecy and shit. Didn't you know? You got to remember, man. All of those guys were breaking up with each other then. And what was it? Corrupt and Daz and all these guys they're making too many beats and they're doing too much work for no money. You know, so I don't know, bro. That's whole like after Chronic 1, it don't matter. Everything after that's garbage. It's like trying to say, you know, Rambo 3 is better than all the other Rambos, or Rocky 4 is the best. You know, it don't fucking matter. You know what I mean? The first one was the best one. Don't touch these classics.
You know what? I was just thinking, and there's a couple of, you know, segues, but DMX, his first album, I would love to hear that remade. One of the best albums of all time. It can't be really remade. You keep his voice, but then add some other collabos in it. You know, that would be dope. And then I just heard Red or whatever that they came out with a new album for X, but then it said in the news that it was fake. So I don't read into it. Y'all can welcome to, but you know, that sounds like they're just trying to make money off his name. Probably have some other cat that sounds like him. I don't know. But speaking of X, because we talked about this the other day, Frankie. So what do you think about X?
Oh, man, X. X is a love-hate relationship with me, man. I really like, you know, he's from the Bronx. He's a spitter. He's a battler.
He's from Yonkers.
Pardon me. He's from Yonkers, but he got his fame and found his career through the Bronx. He used to go to the Bronx all the time and battle. There's footage of him battling like Jay-Z or whoever, and they're in the Bronx at a pool hall. So my apologies. You're right, Yoani. I gotta go back a little bit. But love-hate relationship. I like only maybe 1% of his entire catalog.
Get the fuck out of here.
99% of everything else he makes, I feel like it's sort of a church show. It's when you go to church and the pastor and the preacher, they're all putting on a big show, man. And everybody's and crying. And, you know, and there's a lot of that whole. Now, the thing is, you got to struggle a little bit in life to appreciate his stuff, you know. So I have appreciation for the struggle and all that, man. But he reminds me of people that I tend to avoid when I'm in the streets. So I never really became a big fan. And I remember going in 2000, I went to the Hard Knock Life Tour. And it was Jay-Z, Redman, Method Man, Ja Rule, fucking DMX, all the girl rappers. What's her name? You know,
Eve
and the other chick. You could catch me with your bus pass. Anyways, so I remember seeing DMX, bro, and he came up there and just made everybody cry in the stadium. I turned around and everybody was crying, you know, like, yo, I was just shocked by his power over the crowd, but I don't know, man. I'm not a big DMX fan, bro. You know,
the core to me of hip hop is hard. Definitely is not soft. And one of the hardest niggas of all time is DMX. I love that. When he came out, there was no denying. I was like, I'm with this dude, man. I want to growl. I want to get my shirt off, stand on the cars and bang that with a hammer. I mean, it was an energy. It was a vibe that was undeniable. No one brought that but him. No one. The only people that I could compare is Onyx. That's it. You bring that kind of energy. You have to. There's no faking that. Let's put that. This dude is real.
Now, listen. I will say this. Let me add on to that, Yoani. DMX and the Rough Riders made one of the greatest songs of all time. Okay? Something that I cherish and love dearly. So when I say I'm not a big fan, I don't mean it like, fuck DMX. It's just like, hey, you know, everything else he makes is air, but he's got this one gem that blows me away every time. And it's stop, drop, shut him down, open up shop. That's how Rough Riders roll. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? That shit gets the party fucking going. I love that song every time it comes on. And now, yo, another thing. Swiss Beats. He's another thing that ruins DMX for me because he comes from the keyboard era. So, you know, producers from my era were always making music on SP-1200s, MPC-2000s, MPC-60s. And then you had the keyboard niggas, the ones that came after us. So he always fell under that whole Triton keyboard, Alicia Keys, wifey, you know, everybody got the keyboard out right now. Let's do this shit, Swiss Beats, right? And I didn't like Swiss Beats, bro. I'm a producer. I got some of the dopest drum machines in the world behind me. I don't fuck with keyboard niggas back in the 90s was the mentality. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
The only thing I hear is a whole bunch of hating motherfuckers.
Nah, I'm gonna tell you right now, do your research. Look up Pharoah Monch. He has a
Swiss
whole
Beats
song.
Is one of the best producers
Pharoah Monch
of all
has
time.
A whole entire song about keyboard niggas. He's like, fuck these niggas with Tritons. And he goes off and disses people who use keyboards in their production because that brought on that Ja Rule and happy go lucky hip hop era. That's
Listen,
when we lost the real
shit.
I mean, all the albums you mentioned that you love, bro, were made on real fucking drum machines, Dungeon Family type shit.
Listen, speaking of Dungeon Family type shit, these niggas right here were not scared to bring in a whole band. They would use the keyboard. They would use all kinds of instruments. So trust me, I don't believe in that shit. If you can make a song and try to keep on growing and changing and making it better, you'll use anything available to you. If it means a key and it's doom, 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 doom. You know.
Yep. That was made on an SP-1200 MPC, MIDI together, and they had a little keyboard in the corner. But, you know,
tell me.
Again, it's something to just look up, man. There was a time where you were not cool if you made music that way, and it did not sound hip-hop. That's why you never see DJ Premier with a keyboard. That's why you never see Pete Rock with a keyboard.
That's, to me, I guess, a matter of opinion.
It's not. It's fact. Look it up, man. Tell me. Show me one picture of Pete Rock or DJ Premier with a keyboard. I want to see that.
Everybody has their preference, but I'm saying you can't say it's not hip hop or you can't make a hard track if you're throwing on some keys, because to me that Goody Mob song is one of the hardest.
I'm not saying in any way am I saying, oh, you know, you can't make a beat on. What I'm saying is it robs hip hop of its purity. You know, when those great songs that you love, the symphony and all that Wu-Tang shit, those were all made on drum machines. You know, there were a few little keyboard modules here and there, but they weren't as prevalent. They were used for one or two sounds. It wasn't like somebody was sitting there just belting out keys like they do now, you know? I don't know.
Technology is going to keep on growing. They're going to find new ways to bring more sounds, and they're going to try to implement them. And we just can't hate on them because they just went and banged on a trash can to get that sound. It doesn't matter what they played, if it was a key or on their nose. I mean, as long as it comes with a hot track, I don't give a shit how they got it.
Yo, we lost NOS.
Yeah, he said his computer crashed and he's trying to get back in, so we'll just keep it moving.
Shit.
But to me, DMX is one of the best artists of all time. Not to hate on you and your opinions, because you love Jay-Z, right? I'm not really the biggest fan of Jay-Z, but I'm not going to knock the guy for his talent. But his style has never been something that is something I love. But he's got a bunch of good tracks that I love. Like Me and My Girlfriend is one of the best ones that I love.
That was all right. See, that's the thing. I come from the early. My favorite Jay-Z shit is Reasonable Doubt, Jay-Z. Everything after that was you know. There was a couple here and there, you know, like he did, you know, Death to Auto-Tune was dope. But man, that Reasonable Doubt album, he could never touch that again. He could never.
Can you see me? Our heads are chopped off. Yours is halfway.
Uh-oh.
What's up, people?
Yeah, you're chopped off, actually. That's because this guy jumped out, so it distorted the
whole image. Anyway, people, we're ugly. You don't care to see us anyway. Only want to hear us. And we're here for the real hip-hop opinions. He says he's coming back. So I think he's almost back. Anyway, let me go back to the next one. All right, I was going to ask you, most impactful for you, rapper of all time, besides Biggie and Pac, who is it?
Oh wow, most impactful, but the word impactful, that's so.
Yeah, what who was it for you that changed the game or has made or the biggest dent, or you know, who is your dude? Who's your favorite dude?
Shit, hold up, the audio guy. Favorite. I don't answer those kind of questions, man. I liked your first question. You said who had the most impact. That's a better question. I can't tell who my favorite is.
Right.
But the most impact, like, you know, I would think we'd have to think about rappers whose music still to this day is making an impact, right?
Well, I mean, I could tell you who made the biggest impact to me on hip hop and the world and music. But it wasn't because of a track, and that's Luke Skywalker winning his case on the First Amendment rights, you know, and being able to say whatever the fuck he wants on the track. And so everybody always should be thankful to that dude right there. That's the most impactful. As far as music, who's the most impactful?
That's as far as like free speech is what you're talking.
Yeah.
That's as far as they, like free speech
they banned
is
in the USA. You remember that?
Oh, yes.
So they try to, you know, they were hating on 2 Live Crews. All the little white kids were talking about, oh, me so horny. And, you know, they didn't like that. They don't like rappers that come out with, like, Ice-T, his big-ass balls, talking about cop killer. I mean, that's a First Amendment track right there. I mean, he got to say that. He's lucky he never got shot over it. I mean, they don't like that too much. I'm just saying it takes balls. But hey, who else would you think is impactful on hip hop?
Most impactful rappers, man. You know,
I mean, I would say Nas maybe had a huge impact. He changed a lot of things, but the most, I'll have to think about it too. But go ahead, any answers?
I want to say most impactful, Jay-Z.
Get the fuck out of here. Why is that? I mean, he's impactful as in showing you what can be done. This dude from the streets went to the top.
He's the most impactful because his whole style of what Brooklyn is created that wave. He also created the wave of guys wanting to run their own labels, guys wanting to own their own companies, guys wanting to venture out and have multiple revenue streams. I think he pushed a lot of those envelopes just because of.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, but we're talking about
to do that.
The music.
I mean, in the music, bro, he's in the Hall of Fame. Yes. You want.
But he's to you, you're the most impactful.
How much more impact do you want where the world recognizes you and says you should be in the Hall of Fame? Like, well, that's about as big an impact as you could make. I mean, I don't see Andre 3000 in there.
Definitely, you know, and I know, believe that he should be.
Should he be there? Okay, but is he? Is my point.
He's. I not, mean, you so know that all these damn awards
and what they really did and how they've affected the world.
I don't
populace. Then yes,
I don't put a whole lot of importance
than Andre.
I don't put a whole lot of importance on the Hall of Fame or these award shows. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
But you know, it's a lot of politics and business and who you know. So.
It can be. You're right. It can be. Mm. I think there's a ton of politics and what people choose is the best or good. But to have Jay-Z be in that particular Hall of Fame, to let all them old ass white people that make up this list that allows people in every year for Jay-Z to get in, he must have did something special, bro. I'm just saying.
I think, if I could jump in on that,
all the hip hop guys that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right now.
I don't know. Look it up.
How many?
I could say who should be. LL Cool J, I think, should be in there. Is he in there? I don't know who's in there. Nas should be in there. DMX should be in there. Snoop Dogg should be in there. Dr. Dre should be in there. Maybe even Kendrick Lamar.
And a new cat. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's Notorious B.I.G., Tupac. And Master Flash. Okay. Jay. Right? LL Cool J is in there. He actually got it.
Like last year or so?
Yeah. Like right after Jay got his.
Right.
NWA's in that list.
See, I would definitely put NWA in that list, but I would also put in separately Dr. Dre and Ice Cube. You know what I mean? Eazy-E, should he be in that list?
I mean, Public Enemy's in it. Beastie Boys made it. Run DMC made it. All three of them, obviously. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Now you're talking. So you know we're talking like impactful rappers here, man. You know, I mean, Jay-Z had an impact, but his impact was after Obama brought him into the White House. You know, like before that, his impact was only rock aware. You know, impactful rappers to me, I think of people like Chuck D and Public Enemy. You know, I think of Rakim. I think of KRS-One being one of the most impactful rappers ever. You know, you're talking worldwide, you know.
Tribe Called Quest.
Tribe Called Quest. Wow. You know, a huge impact on hip hop. Tupac, you know, of course. Biggie gets it automatically. I tend to like Jay-Z gets the impact,
but
for me, he gets it after the whole, like, he becomes the poster boy for what makes hip hop successful. What makes people, you know, look at hip hop and go, who's the Beatles of our generation? And it's going to be a Jay-Z in there and all that. You know, Wu-Tang is hugely impactful when you think about it, you know? But impact is such a strange word, man. That's why I thought it was a great question, Yoani, when you posed it. Who had the most impact? You know, is because I think of the word impact, like,
you know what,
changing to give it to landscapes. You know,
because I asked him while you were gone, Nas, who was the most impactful besides Pac and Biggie? You said Jay, but I'm gonna go with Wu.
I think Wu-Tang is one of the most impactful hip hop groups of ever. I mean, bigger than Mobb Deep or, you know, Tribe Called.
Mobb Deep, you know, should be in that list. Outkast for sure should be in the Hall of Fame. If Outkast is not put in the Hall of Fame ain't worth shit.
Well, I mean, again,
to me, they're the greatest group of all time, my opinion. Some people believe that.
Oh, that I don't think that that's not plausible at all. My point is that will they get there? They have to get the approval of
for white people.
All these fucking people at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? If it was really debated on the people, like if we actually had the chance to say, yes, this is who we want in there, then it would be a different story.
Sometimes you can't let the people, you gotta let certain people make those decisions. When you let
The people that are making the decisions, I mean, do you think it any less valid because they let Jay in versus like Outkast?
No, I'm saying, no. Jay deserves it. I'm just saying, if you let the general public decide, then all these new little cats want to put in their votes and then they just bombard the votes and then they'll get somebody in there like little Uzi or some baby or some bullshit. And I'm like, what the fuck? So some baby, some this baby or that baby, but they're all a bunch of babies.
I'll fuck a baby.
Anyway, that was a good question I had. Anybody else want to throw something?
Shit, man. Do you think overall for the guys that haven't made it, when do you think they'll make it?
Who are you talking about?
All right, let's Outkast. Do you think Outkast will ever make it in the Rock and
Roll? I would put money on it, yes. But if they don't, like I said, then this shit is garbage.
When though?
When? They should be now. Shit, today.
Well, I mean, we got to give them some kind of time frame, right?
All right, 2022, by December, Christmas, make it happen.
There it is. All right, world, we put it out there. Please take our consideration. Let Outkast join. What about you? What about you, Frankie?
I think it's going to be a hard road because a group like Outkast, we have to remember they're very anti-system. Yeah. So they're the kind of people that would shit on awards and, you know, act like those things are beyond them. So, you know, while, yeah, we want them in there, it's whether or not the board and the people who are on there can look back and go, did we have a good relationship with these people or not? Because that's what these things are based off of at the end of the day. You know, it's relationships. That's who's really getting those awards. I think you and I talking about it, having one of our co-hosts here going, greatest groups of all time, you know, tells you everything you need to know about them. They've won all the awards they will ever need.
Okay, what else you got? You got another track? Down for another track?
No, I don't have any more music today. I think I played everything I was going to play.
Well, I have done with my questions.
All right. Well, sit, man. Let's just keep it going. So, what do you guys want to see out of hip hop this year? What's your what's your thing, man? How do you
let me move on. Just a real quick question. It's an easy one. Most impactful Latino.
Ooh,
most in hip hop. There's only one I could think of, but go ahead. Who do you got? Mm-hmm. And Frankie, I'm gonna come back to you. I'm not gonna let that shit go. Keep asking you. You're eventually gonna get it out who your top five are. I don't know why you're so scared, but go ahead.
Real, okay. I want to go with B-Real as the most, one of the most.
B-Real is the most impactful Latino in the hip hop culture. Very good one. Next, I'm going to go with Pun, but go ahead.
Ooh, you stole my answer. Damn. Okay. All right. I'll let you get that one. So we're talking most impactful Latino.
You can have the same answer, bro.
Man. Damn, that's a tough one. All right. Here we go. So we're talking impactful. They had an impact. Not most hits, not Hall of Fame, not whatever. Just most impactful.
Yes.
Immortal Technique. Grammy?
Immortal Technique. Wow. Okay. Definitely old school. Definitely underground as fuck. definitely still underground. Yeah,
but
man.
So impactful, but so impactful.
He paid for the dudes that wanted to stay underground and make money, do it. That's literally the lane he created.
Here's the shit, man. I used to follow him on Twitter, and I watched this guy, like, and I listened to his music, and I was blown away by Immortal Technique's ability to bring in this whole deep knowledge of the political underbelly. And then he's tweeting from farms, and he's like, hey, I'm out here in South America tilling the soil, planting carrots. You know, he was giving back to his people. So when you use the word impact on hip hop, you know, that's what I immediately think of, is an artist like that who not only rocked my world and was like, holy shit, like, you just said some shit that made me think, educated me, taught me something, maybe rolls in a circle and kind of looks like my people, which gives me a whole other deeper appreciation for him, you know? And then here he is also halfway around the world making change. That shit blew my mind. You know what I'm saying? So big shout out, Immortal Technique. Definitely Google, Gaggle, and all that good shit. Check your boy out. The nastiest fucking lyricist, and you will learn something. It's like forbidden knowledge bestowed upon you, if that makes any sense.
Speaking of, be real, we're going to go see Cypress Hill in concert here in Tampa. You coming with us? Because I sent you the text and you're bullshitting.
Man, I can't go. I can't go.
How come, man?
I can't. I can't, bro. I'm broke.
All right, man. Plus, now, everybody want to chip in to pay for Frankie's ticket.
Yeah, bro. Let's set up a GoFundMe.
For Frankie's ticket. Frankie. But, man, I don't know what the hell's up
bro.
With
bro. Y'all already got your tickets. By the time I get one, I'm going to be in the back row.
No, man, it was $60.
I don't live out there. I'm going to be all drunk and shit, driving home. Oh, shit. Where's my
exit? I already told you you could crash, man. Come on. Not bullshitting.
Oh, shit.
Cypress Hill, that's not one you want to miss.
No, I mean, thankfully I've seen them, you know, once, but I would love to see them again, man. I would.
That's gonna be a whole vibe. Yeah, and it's not just a vibe like you had before. This with your boys, Yawani and Nas in the house. Except I think Nas he paid $120 or something. Oh, he's sitting
shit.
In a seat.
Oh shit! He got the fucking TikTok. Section. He got the fucking influencer tickets.
So I'm gonna have to see if I can go sneak into a seat, or if not, I'm gonna be standing. Uh-huh. Hoping you could be standing with me, my brother.
Yeah, man. Shit.
$60.
That's a lot of money, man.
I'll put in 10.
Uh oh. We lost you guys. The Matrix kicked in.
I'm still here. He keeps crashing. Yo, or something. He
busted out on us. He's like, I'm out of here. These guys are lames.
So, what's up? Top five rappers of
crazy,
all time.
Crazy, man. Crazy. Top five rappers of all time. So, we got to throw Redman in the mix.
That's a good one.
New
Nick.
Jersey, Brick City, Redman.
Brick City in the house.
Holding it down. PPP. And also part of the Outsiders and all those cliques. Wu-Tang. Wow. Top five rappers of all time.
So, wait, man. You got Big Redman as... Okay, but where do they go on that list? You talk about Redman's number one?
Nah. I don't have a Redman, number one, man. That's tough, bro.
I need you to start doing your homework. I need this list. I need it in order. And Redman.
Professor Yo.
That's right. If you are a lover of hip-hop, you know Redman is the shit. And a lot of people... I mean, don't know, but for those that do, you know, he holds his weight, and he's still, I heard, coming out with some more music, and I see him on here like us doing the prepping thing for the future. I mean, he's in there shooting guns, jumping out of planes. This dude, I follow him. I love this cat. He's something else. He's not scared to say what's on his mind.
OG, man. He goes way back, bro. Think about it, man. You're talking about like the Headbanger, EPMD.
Yeah, Eric Sermon.
You got El Nino. You got There's a Dark Side. I mean, so definitely Redman in my top.
Muddy Waters.
Muddy Waters, come on, bro. Classic front to back albums. You can listen to the beginning to the end, you know? And KRS-One. So KRS-One would definitely be up there.
You write these down.
Wow, man, this is a tough one, bro. You're really fucking my shit up. You know what's funny, man, is I'm going to put as much as I like, oh, God, I don't want to do that, man. I was going to say cannabis, man.
Hey, whatever, dude, whatever you want.
Only because something about what he did with lyrics just like totally changed shit, bro. It just changed the entire process of thinking of how lyrics work, you know? And just to keep the list short and quick, Slick Rick got to get in there. Top fucking five all day long. Might even be my top, you know?
He is top.
Might be, man. I might have to put him up there. It might be Slick Rick, and then it'll be Redman, and then it'll be KRS-One.
Nas, do me a favor. Pull up that song with Slick Rick that I sent you with Method Man, and see if you can play the first little snippet. Did you buy that song, Frankie? Because I know I sent it to you.
What song? What are we talking
about? Slick Rick and Method Man, new song out.
Oh, no. I heard...
Well, go get it. I got it.
It's something with Eminem. You sent me Eminem and Snoop Dogg.
And Snoop, that was dope too. Telling you. I mean, it's hard for me to pick 5-2. I get it. So what I do is I sometimes have ties to get a little more in the top five. So, but definitely number one, for me, was Eminem.
Wow.
And it's hard.
Number one.
It's hard to choose, but... I'm gonna have to put Andre number two, and then Pac and Biggie tie for third. Who else did I have in there? Because I can't remember. It's hard. So many people I love, but I'm trying to go to the top.
It's the DJ Muggs Metropolis.
Yes, DJ Muggs produced
Method Man and Slick Rick.
Okay. Yes, dope track.
See,
we'll get it.
Trying,
and then while y'all are at it,
this is a little snippet right here. Hold on, trying to get it to load.
Go check out that Snoop and Eminem. Can't believe these dudes are still bringing out fire.
All right, listen. Here it is. Wait,
I'm gonna have to go with Pun number four. Who am I gonna finish it off with? Very tough.
Here we go.
I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but maybe you could put the Woo.
That's fucking hard as shit, man.
I can't hear shit, though.
Was it not playing?
Not for me.
You guys couldn't hear it? Hold on. Oh, man. I probably got to add it to my loopback. Hold on. Oh, it's on. It's added. You guys should definitely be hearing it.
I don't.
No? Wow. Hold on. Oh, bro. Why? Boy, hold on. All right, let me try that right there. Here you go.
You know I'm fire, have water waiting. Send your location, I find vagina, your water breaking. Like sliding into a situation, no lubrication. Plus I'm losing patience for penance. And I rebuke you, Satan.
I rebuke you, Satan.
Mercy, tell all the clerks.
All right, let me stop because I
don't want to get too much in, but I rebuke you, Satan.
I don't want to get taken down, but
show that. Yeah, snippet.
Man. I mean, just that alone will.
That beat is hard. To me, that sounds like a straight out of the 90s.
But it's fucking DJ Muggs. All right, so we're talking about impactful people in hip hop.
Producers.
DJ Muggs, bro, one of the dopest white dudes to ever make hip hop music.
I didn't even know. I know he looks white, but I assumed he had something else in him. I mean, I didn't know he was like. All white. I just thought he was Hispanic.
White dude. DJ Muggs. But he kills it, bro. Killed it. He did fucking all that music for, you know, House of Pain. House of Pain 2. Hell yeah.
Soul Assassins.
Just think about it.
And we were talking earlier today about the greatest white rapper of all time. You know, here you got is he the greatest white producer of all time? You got Alchemist.
Alchemist, yeah.
God, there's so many, you know. It's hard, man. That's a whole show all in its own.
But Alchemist is in a different league.
Than DJ Muggs? You're talking about like Mob D.
If you were gonna have them set up on
shit,
like
that's the
on
best
like versus. levels of producers, like I'll have all of them in my top 20, but the difference between Alchemist beats and DJ Muggs is pretty wide gap, bro. Sorry. I'm about to say it.
I'm going to tell you what. I think Alchemist has more. He has more of a quantity thing out there, right? Where DJ Muggs is a more curated, smaller collection of art, you know? Because if you look at Alchemist, he's putting shit out all the time for everybody. Where Muggs is a little more guarded and only doing things for his people, you know? So. Interesting. I wonder if he's going to be out there when you guys go to see him.
I didn't see him on the bill for the Cypress concert. But I have my ticket and I don't give a fuck.
He's doing his own thing.
I don't give a fuck. I got my ticket a while back, so it's just sitting there, bro. I'm just waiting for this concert to come through. It's going to be fucking amazing. Going to get to finally knock that one off my bucket list. I really need to do that shit.
Who was your top five again, dude? Nas?
My top five?
I know you got Jay.
I've got Jay, Nas.
That's who I was thinking. Damn,
Raekwon.
I'm going to have to
Jay, do... Nas, Raekwon, Rakim, and... who the have is the last one? Holy shit.
While you're thinking about it, because it's hard for me.
Go ahead.
I think I'm going to tie in the Wu and the Nas. I don't know. I'm trying to get more people in my top. It's more like seven.
Did we forget Pharoah Monch?
Wow, Pharoah Monch,
He brought him up, and he is one of my favorites, but he definitely is not in my top five. But I put Eminem, Andre, Pac, and Biggie for three, and then Pun for four, Wu and Nas for five.
Okay. Well, shit, that sounds amazing. I love that, bro. Now everybody's fucking thrown out. So now you guys got some history to look at today on hip hop. Might as well just like get on your Google and start looking for this shit. Figure out what the hell. Figure out who the hell we were talking about. Check out everything. And again, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Everybody, you know where to check us out on Twitter at Core Culture Pod. On Instagram at Zero C Media. You can check me out at The Real Noslin everywhere. And Yoani, where can they find you?
Rodriguez Photo and Art in Facebook and Instagram. And hip hop_podcast as well on Instagram. Send me your stuff, man. We love to hear from you. Love to connect. We truly love hip hop.
Let us know, man.
We are hip hop.
Hell yeah.
Tell us who's listening.
Frankie. Where can they find you?
My guys, you can find me everywhere, all social media at Frankie Hovers. Big shout out to my Flying Junkies family. Check us out on the F Junkies podcast. And this was a blessing, man. I learned a lot today, man. I really did. I saw Yoani really get into it today, man. Become a professor right in front of our eyes, man. So big shout out to you guys. One love, peace and blessings. Core Culture Podcast. We out here doing this shit. One love.
Hell yeah.
Who was listening, Nas?
All right, who was listening? Let me see. I'm pulling it up. So this week, listening on the podcast, we've got Florida, we've got New York, we've got Virginia, Arizona. We've got China listening in. Wow. And last but not least, we've got Cuba.
What?
Listening in.
Cuba in the house.
Cuba is in the house, bro.
That's a first. What's up, people?
What's up? First time. It's probably my cousins.
Yep.
So shout out to all my cousins. I know one of you motherfuckers probably got some internet over there and put it on for everybody. So thank you. I know y'all motherfuckers can't understand what the hell I'm saying, but I love all of you guys.
Gracias, mi gente.
Ya tú sabes.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Cuba. Shout out to China. Shout out to everybody in the U.S., man, that always tunes in. We appreciate y'all very much. And yeah, man, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. We'll catch you for the next one. Peace.
Peace out.